Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
And this month is our literature unit, or at least today, we begin our literature unit for the month of February, as we get rolling along with the new year 2020 here. And today we're going to be looking at a young reader's novel by the title of Number the Stars, an incredible story of courage.
Yeah, it's a fictional story about two 10-year-old girls and the people around them, of course, who were living through Nazi Germany and the occupation of their own country of Denmark and what happens to them there.
So as always, of course, in the first day of our lesson, we're going to summarize the actual novel itself. So let's get to it, everybody. Let's read through the entire contents of our lesson now one time.
Anne-Marie Johansson is a 10-year-old girl residing in Copenhagen, Denmark. It is 1943, the third year of Nazi Germany's occupation of Denmark during World War II. Ellen Rosen, Anne-Marie's neighbor and best friend, is Jewish. Denmark's Jews will soon be transported to Nazi concentration camps. They must escape to the neutral country of Sweden across the Øresund Strait. Ellen's parents flee to the countryside, but it's safer for Ellen to stay overnight at the Johansson's apartment and pretend to be Anne-Marie's sister. At 4 a.m., Nazi soldiers arrive, searching for the Rosens. Terrified, Anne-Marie rips off and conceals Ellen's Star of David necklace, which would identify Ellen as Jewish. The soldiers depart, and the family takes urgent action to help the Rosens. As planned, Mrs. Johansson takes Anne-Marie and Ellen to her brother Henrik's home in a rural fishing village. That night, Ellen's parents and several others gather at a staged funeral. Anne-Marie realizes the funeral goers are Jews that Henrik will smuggle in his boat's cargo hold to Sweden. They make it to the boat, but Mr. Rosen has dropped an important packet near Henrik's home. Anne-Marie takes a dangerous path to deliver it to Henrik. Along the way, Nazi soldiers stop Anne-Marie, and she acts silly to hide her real mission. Their dogs sniff the packet, which merely contains a handkerchief. Henrik later reveals it had chemicals that temporarily dulled the dog's sense of smell, so they wouldn't detect anyone hiding in the boat. The Jews and Henrik travel safely to Sweden. 2 years later, the war concludes. Danish Jews in Sweden are free to return to Denmark. Anne-Marie asks her father to repair Ellen's necklace. She wears it herself until her friend comes home.
Okay, everybody, let's talk about the contents of today's lesson. It's our literature unit for the month of February 2020. And the title of our article is Number the Stars, An Incredible Story of Courage. So that's the title of our featured novel for this month, Number the Stars. Kind of interesting here because here the word number is a verb to number something. For example, if you're about to get fired by your boss, you could say, oh, your days are numbered at this company. You're going to get fired very soon. So in that sense, we're using the word number as a verb. Number the stars, I guess that means count the stars.
Yeah, it just means count. And back then, wow, they had some really brave kids. This story, of course, is about two 10-year-old girls, primarily, but it also includes their relatives, you know, their larger families. But, whoo, you'd need a lot of courage to actually go against the Nazis. They were mean.
But in any case here, yes, this is an incredible story of courage. And, well, we've got the main character here. Her name is Anne-Marie Johansson.
I just called her Anne Marie.
Okay, maybe in Danish you say Anne Marie Johansson or something like that, but we're going to go with the English pronunciation here. Mm-hmm. Anne Marie Johansson, and she is a 10-year-old girl residing in Copenhagen, Denmark. That's the capital city of Denmark. Some people say Copenhagen, some people say Copenhagen. They're both correct, and here we've got the verb to reside, which means you live in this place, that's where your home is.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you were born there. It doesn't mean that you grew up there. It just means you're living there currently. The people who reside in a city or a country are called the residents. Usually it's a city we're talking about when we use the word, the verb to reside. Tom and I reside in Taipei, but we're not born here. We weren't born here. We were born in America. So they're residing in Copenhagen, Denmark. So they are Danish. That's what you would call them. Danish, or sometimes you see shortened to Danes. He's a Dane. She's Danish. It's 1943, so we're going back in time. This is during World War II, and it's the third year that the Nazis have occupied the country of Denmark. And this is, of course, during World War II, like I said.
Yep, the Nazis dominated lots of countries. They occupied lots of countries in Europe during World War II. And it ended in 1945. So here in 1943, of course, they've still got a couple of years to go before the end of it all. And here in the next paragraph, it says, Ellen Rosen, Anne Marie's neighbor and best friend, is Jewish. And, of course, if you know anything about the history of World War II, you were in great danger if you were Jewish living in Europe, especially in areas that were occupied by the Nazis. So we could say that Ellen here is probably in big trouble here because she is Jewish, which, of course, is one of the religions of the Middle East there. You've got Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Mainly.
Yeah, so Denmark's Jews are going to be transported to Nazi concentration camps. So if Nazi Germany occupied your country, they would then go around the country and gather up or round up, we also say round up all the Jews, and send them to different concentration camps. Typically, those concentration camps were located in other areas of the world. They must escape. This is the Rosen family. They must escape to the neutral country of Sweden across the Öresund Strait. So this is a little bit of water that connects these two countries. So Sweden and Denmark are quite close to each other, but you have to cross this body of water to get there. When you're talking about a neutral country, especially when you're talking about wartime, you're talking about a country that is not going to take sides. So they're not supporting either opposing sides. They weren't supporting the Nazis, and they weren't supporting the Allies that were fighting against the Nazis, of course. So they were neutral. Of course, the most famous neutral country in the world is Switzerland. They never take sides in anything. And so if you hear that, you know, for the people out there who are into design at all, either fashion or interior design, you'll often hear people talk about neutral colors. A neutral color is beige, white, gray. It's not very strong. So we use it that way as well.
It's also a gear. Well, not really a gear, a non-gear in your car. Of course, you got D for drive, R for reverse, P for park, and N for neutral. That means the engine's not really doing anything. When I'm waiting at a stoplight, for example, I put it into neutral so that it doesn't harm the engine as much. So in this particular case, though, Sweden is not taking sides. They're not taking the side of the Allies or the Axis powers, the Nazis, but they're neutral here, and they've got to cross this body of water, which is between two other land areas, the strait here. So, of course, here in Taiwan, you know the Strait of Taiwan or the Taiwan Strait. And there's one, I guess, the Bashi Channel between the Philippines and Taiwan. That's not really a strait. It's a channel. But between the mainland and Taiwan, that is the Taiwan Strait here. So Ellen's parents flee to the countryside, but it's safer for Ellen to stay overnight at the Johansson's apartment and pretend to be Anne-Marie's sister. So, of course, Copenhagen is the capital city of Denmark, and, of course, Denmark has a countryside there where people, you know, live in farmhouses and farm the land and stuff like that. So the parents flee. They escape to the countryside. But Ellen's going to stay overnight at the Johansson's apartment in Copenhagen.
Yeah, you're going to find out as you read the story that Anne-Marie's sister that Ellen's pretending to be is actually dead. She's been killed. You find out later in the book what happens to her. But she's going to pretend to be Anne-Marie's sister. Well, at 4 a.m., the Nazi soldiers arrive at the Johansson's house, probably scared everybody to death because they were asleep. And what were they there for? Well, they were searching for Jews. They were searching for the Rosens. It says here that Anne-Marie was terrified. If you're terrified, it's more than just being scared or frightened. You're scared to death. You're so afraid of what's going on around you that it's hard to even think or move. But Anne-Marie quickly does something. She rips off a necklace that's on Ellen. Ellen's wearing a Star of David necklace that Jews wear. Christians, you've seen Christians who wear the cross to represent Jesus. Well, the Jews have a Star of David that tells everybody they're Jewish. She rips off that necklace and then hides it. And we're using the vocabulary word here, conceal. To conceal is to hide. So she takes it off, rips it off, breaks it really to get it off Ellen, and then hides the necklace quickly because that would immediately tell those Nazi soldiers that Ellen was Jewish. And, you know, she's trying to pretend she's Anne-Marie's sister, and the Johansons are not Jewish. So the soldiers depart, which just means to leave, and the family takes urgent action to help the Rosens. You see this word urgent when there's some sort of emergency or situation that needs fast or quick action. Maybe you have a boss that says, you need to get this document delivered. It's urgent. So it's really, really important that something happens quickly or fast. It doesn't have to be because it's dangerous or there's a dangerous situation. Could just be that you've got business and you need to do it as fast as possible.
Yep, lots of things are urgent. They require immediate attention. And maybe we should feel that way now about our Chinese teacher. It's urgent that we hear from our teacher right now because some of our students may not understand some things. So let's listen to our Chinese teacher right now.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jenny. 今天我们要看的是第十单元。好，我们呢，这个单元跟文学作品有关。我们要谈这本书。Number the stars. Number the stars. 这个 number 当然是一个动词。换句话说，我们数一、数二、三。好，所以我们的中文翻成数星星。那这一本书呢，它的内容，这个故事大概是怎么样？我们今天先来看一下。首先呢，谈到这个故事的主角，诶，这个故事的主角是个小女孩，她只有十岁，她住在丹麦的Copenhagen, 我们知道丹麦的首都哥本哈根。好，那时间呢，大家要复习一下历史跟地理了，因为这是第二次世界大战的时候，那时候呢，纳粹德国占领了丹麦。好，在这个时间点，当时呢，我们的这个小女孩，她有一个邻居，也是她的好朋友。好，这个小朋友，她的好朋友叫 Alan, 那因为呢，她是犹太人，而我们也知道，在历史上我们知道，如果你是犹太人的话，诶，在这时候会被送去纳粹集中营，因为丹麦被占领了，所以德国当时对犹太人可以说是赶尽杀绝的。而在这个故事里头，也就是因为这个好朋友是犹太人，那如果他要免除被迫害的命运的话，就要逃到哪里呢？逃到瑞典，当时瑞典是一个中立国，所以我们这边在地理上他也学了，我们知道有一个过丹麦要过一个叫松德海峡，然后才到对岸的瑞典过去。好，这个故事的时间、地点、背景大概就是这样。好，不过呢，当然他们为了要保护这个 Ellen 的安全，所以呢，我们这个小女孩 Anne-Marie 他们家就想尽办法想要 让他们不要被迫害，就必须要，诶，怎么办？首先，他们要把小孩藏起来，藏在家里，让他当作是 Emery 的姐妹。另外呢，这个Ellen 的父母呢，则被送到了，诶，就是我们女主角 Anne Mary 的妈妈，她有一个弟弟，就在海边的一个小村里头，让他在那里被保护，而不会被找到。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, everybody. Again, today we're summarizing our featured work of literature for the month of February. The title is Number the Stars. We'll tell you who wrote this book in a little while here. But in any case, so far, this story is taking place in Denmark, in Copenhagen. And we've got a couple of girls here, Ellen Rosen, and then we've got her friend, what's the friend's name now?
Anne-Marie Johansson.
All right, Anne-Marie and Ellen. And Ellen, of course, is Jewish, and Denmark is occupied by the Nazis, so Ellen is in trouble, as are her parents. So her parents flee to the countryside. Ellen stays overnight at Anne-Marie's apartment. And then I guess Anne-Marie realizes, hey, Ellen, you're wearing a Star of David. You've got to take that thing off. So she rips off the necklace because if she were still wearing it, the Nazis would immediately say, hey, Juden, you are Jewish. You're in big trouble. And, of course, they take urgent action to help the Rosens so that they don't get captured by the Nazis and sent to a concentration camp.
Okay, so moving on, guys, as planned, Mrs. Johansson takes Anne-Marie and Ellen to her brother Henrik's home in a rural fishing village. So he's right there by the water. You can probably see where the story's going to go from there. So he's living in a rural fishing village away from the city. And of course, they probably say his name differently if you actually are Danish, but we're saying Henrik. I'm not sure how they pronounce it, but that's the English pronunciation. It's just a version of Henry that you've probably all seen before. Well, that night, Ellen's parents and several others gather at a staged funeral. When you see this in the book, you're thinking, wait, who died? Supposedly, it was Henrik's great aunt who died. But it's not a real funeral. When you see this word staged, it just means it's not real. It's been faked. You know, something is going on that isn't real. Staged funeral. Sometimes the police, to understand how an accident happens, afterwards will stage the accident again and try to run through it. You can do that as well. But he's having this fake funeral, and that's when Ellen's parents and several others gather together at Henrik's home again, right by that strait, that Orison Strait.
Okay, so again, they're making a pretend funeral here. Mm-hmm. They're staging a funeral. And Anne-Marie realizes the funeral goers, or the people attending the funeral, are Jews, that Henrik will smuggle in his boat's cargo hold to Sweden. So Anne-Marie can kind of figure out what's going on here. All the people attending this funeral, this fake funeral, are actually Jews that are going to be smuggled over to Sweden. So here we've got the word smuggle. That's when you take things from another country and move them illegally into another country. Like in the United States, of course, lots of drugs are smuggled in from other countries. They used to talk about people smuggling things in from China to Taiwan many years ago. Now that stuff comes here legally. But in this particular case, yes, they need to get those people out of Denmark and over to Sweden so they won't be in any trouble.
Yeah, so where do they hide? Well, they hide in his boat in a part called the cargo hold. Cargo, of course, is just goods, products that are shipped from one place to another. We've got lots of airplanes that are just cargo airplanes. They don't have seats for passengers or people. Cargo is not a person. Okay, cargo is just things that they're products and goods. They're not alive. So they hide in the cargo hold to make that trip across the strait. They make it to the boat, but Mr. Rosen, you find out, has dropped an important packet near Henrik's home. Ugh, and they really need what was inside the packet. Packet can be different things. It can just be a bunch of papers that someone collects and has maybe in an envelope, a packet of cigarettes. That's the measure word we use for cigarettes. A packet of gum. Or, oh no, it's a pack of gum. A pack of cigarettes.
Well, they say packet of cigarettes in England, and then
no,
in America, we shorten it to just pack. I'd like a pack of cigarettes, please, if you smoke.
I don't. So anyway, what does he drop that they really need? You're going to find out. Anne Marie takes a dangerous path to deliver it to Henrik. So she volunteers to go outside and find the packet that he's dropped somewhere. And it's dangerous outside because she's not supposed to be outside, first of all. Secondly, there are lots of Nazis hanging around the area. Well, along the way, Nazi soldiers do indeed stop Anne Marie, and she acts really silly to hide her real mission. Usually when people were out late at night during World War II in occupied countries, they were doing things that would get them arrested and killed. So she shouldn't have been outside. So she just pretends she's kind of silly, dumb, stupid, and she's trying to hide why she's really out there. You don't want to act very smart so that they'd figure out you were there, you know, as some sort of doing something that was illegal according to the Nazis at the time.
Right, so the Nazis are there, they catch her, they go, Achtung, what are you doing here? And, of course, the dogs of the Nazis the dogs sniff the packet. Yeah, what have we here? What are you carrying here, young girl? So the dogs sniff. That's what sniffing means. You just kind of smell something. They sniff the packet, which merely contains a handkerchief, which is a piece of cloth that you carry in your pocket in case you need to blow your nose or in case someone starts crying or something like that. Gentlemen will carry handkerchiefs in their suits. Most of us don't carry them. I've never carried a handkerchief. Have you ever carried a handkerchief with you?
No, it's a guy thing. It's not a girl thing. Yeah, old grandmas would. My dad still carries a handkerchief in his pocket.
Okay.
Yeah. It's, I think it's an older generation thing. Maybe there are still people who do. It's kind of cool. Henrik later reveals it had chemicals on that handkerchief, and those chemicals dulled the dog's sense of smell. They couldn't smell what they were actually around at the time. I read the book, and they actually put some drugs on it, so you couldn't smell. The dogs couldn't smell for a little while. If you detect something, it's a word we often use when we're talking about detectives who are following clues. Well, dogs can detect things like bombs. You know, we have the dog sniffers at the airport. They're trying to detect drugs that were illegally smuggled into your country. Well, they couldn't detect anyone hiding in the boat because of the drugs that were on the handkerchief. It made the dogs unable to smell as sharply.
Yep, they would not be able to detect people in the boat. You might want to go see a doctor, for example, and have them detect cancer or something like that, in case you have it. So here in the next paragraph here, as we finish off our lesson, it says, 2 years later, the war concludes. The war ends. Danish Jews in Sweden are free to return to Denmark. So I guess the Jews over in Sweden are kind of sick of buying that IKEA furniture, and they want to go back to Denmark. And Anne Marie asks her father to repair Ellen's necklace. She wears it herself until her friend comes home. Remember, Anne Marie had ripped the necklace off of Ellen, and she says, hey, father, hey, dad, can you fix that necklace so I can give it back to Ellen when she comes home? Isn't that sweet?
Sure is. We're going to listen one more time to our Chinese teacher, and then we'll be back to wrap up.
好，我们继续来看这个故事，数星星。他的故事内容提到了 Emery 他想要保护 Ellen， 那当然按照计划，Emery 的家人就是他的妈妈就想办法先把他的好朋友 Ellen 他们那一家的父母先带走，让他去藏在 他的兄弟 Henry 乡下的一个渔村里。好，那在这个当中，其实是蛮悬疑紧张的，因为呢，为了怕被抓到、被找到，他们还有一场自导自演的丧礼。好，我们注意到这边说这个丧礼是一个 a staged funeral。我们知道 stage 本来当名词就是舞台，当动词其实可以说是安排，所以这是一个被安排好的一场丧礼，当然就是假的。不过，当时当然是为了要把他们藏起来，其实他们的目标呢，计划中就是要把这些人藏到这个 Henry 他船里的货舱里面，然后用偷渡的方式让他们安全抵达瑞典。好，这个故事里头，到后来其实我们的女主角就是这个10岁的女孩子 Emery 非常的勇敢，因为呢曾经有一度她可被纳粹的士兵给拦下来，可是呢她却一点都不害怕，而且也因为她勇敢救了这些人，让他们这些犹太人Ellen 的父母家人朋友最后都能搭上船，而且安全的抵达瑞典。好，我们呢要看最后这边故事，其实也就是在战争结束的时候，那这时候呢结束之后，这些丹麦籍的犹太人终于可以从瑞典再回到了丹麦。我们来看最后这边讲的 2 years later the war concludes。 我们看一下这个单字conclude， 本来我们通常是指下结论，但是当你说一个故事到了收尾的时候，你也可以用这个动词 conclude。 好，我们今天讲解就到这边，我们下次再见。
Okay, that brings us to the end of our lesson for today, but please join us again next time when we talk about the author of Number the Stars, the writer Lois Lowry. Please join us then. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.